You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon that we've called for many years, Raising the Standard. So we greet and welcome all of you, no matter where you're at. If you're listening on the radio, on the internet, wherever, we just welcome you to the program, and we're honored to be here with you every Saturday from 12 noon until 1. It's a privilege to do this program because we are, with the power of the Holy Ghost and the Word of God, we're going to raise the standard, right, Pastor Donna?
Amen.
The body of Christ. And so Donna and I co-pastor a church here in Stuart. We have now for 23 years. God gave us the name way back out of Revelation 19:10. And what is that verse, Pastor Donna?
You want me to read it?
You might if you want to just read it out of the Bible, yeah.
Okay. We like to go to the Bible.
We got memorized, but
we like to go to the King James
Bible. If you're at home, you might
want
to open your Bible to Revelation chapter 19. And Pastor Donna's going to read the verse that God gave me way back to start this church with.
Well, I'm going to read the whole verse, mm-hmm. Okay. It says, "And I fell at his feet to worship him." So a man fell at someone's feet. "And he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant." So he was a fellow servant. Mm-hmm. "And of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus."
Hallelujah.
Shouldn't we all have the testimony
right,
of Jesus?
The testimony, the word, the witnesses of him. Amen.
That's right. So then he tells him, he says, "Worship God, mm-hmm. for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
It's incredible.
So spirit of prophecy.
It's an amazing word there. So our church.
Spirit of prophecy.
Spirit of prophecy ministries. We're a very prophetic church, not only with eschatology, which is just a study of the end times and all that, but also with the now where we believe in personal prophecy, that God uses that through believers to encourage and exhort and comfort people to move on and accomplish what God wants them to do, right, Pastor Don? So we believe both ends of it, okay? There's a now word, and there's a word from way back, so we go back to the ancient past to find out what God put in place to teach us the things about the end times as well. So we're honored to be here with
God
you.
God speaks to us.
That's right.
God speaks.
All the time, doesn't he?
And he wants us to speak to him. How
That's
do
right.
we do that?
That's right.
We call it prayer, don't we?
That's right. We
talking
call it
to God.
That's right.
Talking to the Lord.
So before we start the program here today, do a
Thank
little
you,
teaching,
Father.
We thought that Donna might have a couple of things she wants to share. Anything else with our calendar that you might want to mention? If not, we'll get started on this. And I think it'll be an interesting study today. And I hope you all have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is going to say to you today. Amen.
Can't believe how quickly this month is just going by.
Yeah, today's the 23rd already.
I know. I do want to mention that we do have services here in Stuart, Florida at Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, a church and fellowship. We'll come together this afternoon at 4 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And we're watching a video about the Bible.
Tares among the wheat. The
there
wheat is the
tares.
True word of God, and the tares are the bad ones.
There are tares.
The bad words
That's
are
right.
out there.
So we want to, and you know, Jesus talked about the tares.
Sure
it might
did.
Be good for us to share that.
Sometime, yeah.
Yes, amen. So that would be at 4 o'clock, and then after that we have a little bite to eat, a little meal, and we close out the Sabbath
mm-hmm.
and at with prayer. And then also do we meet tomorrow on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for our normal service, our meeting with the Lord. And then we also meet every Friday night at 7 p.m. We come together to worship the Lord. Amen.
Our Shabbat meeting.
And we want to say hello to all of you out there who listen to us, maybe not every week, but you catch us when you can. And we also want to mention that this radio broadcast is also on the internet. So if you happen to be driving down the highway and you don't live in this area, you can listen to us again any Saturday on WCNO.com.
I'll repeat that.
That's WCNO.com. That's the radio station. It's 24/7. And you can go on Saturdays and go to 12 o'clock noon Eastern Standard Time. Or, well, actually, when it's on the internet, you can listen to it anytime. You can go to listen to it at midnight if you want to. Because it's a rebroadcast, amen? Mm-hmm. You just go and listen to what you want to listen to. Any, whatever. There's a lot of different teachers on there. But we're on Saturday at 12 o'clock noon. So you just look in the program guide for Saturday at 12 noon. And you'll see Pastor Gene Hilton's name there. And that is the radio broadcast. And there's many on there that you can listen to again if you'd like to. If you so choose to do that. Amen. And so we want to say hello out there. We want to say hello to Roscoe and Audrey on Andrews Island.
Let's give a report. Yep.
The building is nearly, walls are almost up, right? Working on the last wall, the back wall of the building. I think he said, and it's probably up now because last time we heard there was like 90 more blocks that needed to be put up. Mm-hmm. And so that would take one day. So that's coming along. And the next thing would be to start working on
To put the next thing.
The header? Is that what it's called?
I guess the thing around the roof before they put the struts on the roof on there.
A lot of concrete has to be poured around the top.
Yeah.
So there's still a lot to do, and they still need lots of finances to complete the building. And it'll be completed.
When God wants it to be completed, that's
right. And it will be. But, you know, God uses people, places, and things.
Sure does.
And to help do a work. Amen. We all work together, and then something's accomplished. Amen?
So their church is called the Temple of God on Andros Island.
Temple of God on Andros Island.
On Conch Sound, no less. So they use a conch. They drilled a hole in a conch. They use it like a shofar. They blow that.
It makes a nice sound.
It sure does.
It makes a big sound.
It does. Makes a nice sound.
Amen. So
well, anyway, we're...
And I want to give our telephone number
with them.
Here. Mm-hmm. And our phone number here if you want to call us. It's area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007. If you'd like to give an offering for this radio broadcast or for Roscoe and Audrey to help purchase the things that they need, give us a call and we'll tell you how you can do that. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
So we're glad to be here with you. So I think I covered about everything we're doing right now. So come and visit and just step in and say hello. Some of you have been listening to the program for a long time. We'd just like to say hello to you and meet you in person. It's wonderful. We've had it happen several times over the year. In fact, many times. And a lot of the people in our congregation right now came from the radio program, didn't they, Pastor Donna?
That's right.
So we're honored to be here with you. And we always lift up WCNO Radio. They're on 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. The gospel's going out. And so we're honored to be a part of that.
And we hope you're all looking for truth.
Right.
And you want to know the truth? The Bible says the truth will make us free.
So I was going to talk about, I shared on Sunday morning last week in our meeting this thing about the falling away. And I thought, as I thought about it this week and read some more, I thought we might talk about some things with that. And what I'd like to do to start with here is to mention one thing with you that we teach out of the King James Version Bible, and you've heard me talk about this before, that I was in the New King James for a long time. And prior to that, when we first got saved, for the first 5 years, I guess, of my walk with the Lord, I was in the King James Version, and then the New King James came out, and I got fooled and got into that for a while, and caused me some problems. But I got back into King James. I've been back for years now. But I wanted to mention something to you about the King James Version of the Bible. I think it's very important. You know, a lot of people run the King James Version down today. They say, well, it's archaic. It's not for us today, but it is. And I wanted to share this with you. The King James Version, remember, King James himself did not translate that Bible. He authorized it. That's why it's called the Authorized King James, because he authorized 54 men to accomplish this. But I want you to know something here. We're going to talk about this thing called the falling away over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, maybe a few other things as well. And so prior to talking about this, we need to understand we got to be in the right Bible. And the King James Version, of course, took that word and said, called it the falling away. But I wanted to mention this before we start. All the early Bibles that led up to the King James Version Bible, and there was nothing wrong with them, they were all compiled and used to put in place and translate the King James Version Bible that we have in our hands today. Well, I'm just going to mention a few of them. And they took this word falling away in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. They put the word departing on it instead of falling away. These were the ones that had this. Tyndale did this in 1534. Cloverdale, 1535. The Geneva Bible, which is a good Bible, 1537. And Cranmer in 1539. The Beza Bible in 1565 all used the phrase of departing instead of falling away. So that's an interesting thought. And so remember, all those Bibles were used. They compiled all that to translate them and put in place the King James Bible. And after that, a lot of those Bibles just disappeared. So the primary one from that point on was the King James Bible. And I believe we have the true Word of God in our hands here when we do this and look at this. So what I want to talk about with this, about the falling away a little bit, before we read all these verses, the word falling away in chapter 2, verse, well, I'm just going to read that verse to start with. It says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Okay? Well, there's a Greek word that's on that term, falling away, and it's called apostasy, if I can pronounce it right. I'm not too great in a good way with my Greek pronunciations, I guess, but it's apostasy. All right, now the interesting thing, it's used 17 times in the New Testament. And I researched this several years ago, quite a few years ago, and kind of looked this up. And so we have this word apostasy and some derivatives that come off of that. And I found out that 15 times this word in the Greek, in the New Testament, these words are all verbs. Interesting. Well, then I came to Acts chapter 21, 22, and also 2 Thessalonians 2, 3, and all of a sudden now, it's a noun. Now, looking at that verse, just thinking about that, the word falling away makes you think, well, that ought to be a noun. Well, might be in our English thought, I don't know. But in the Greek, I looked it up again to make sure I had the right grammar, it's a noun. And what is a noun? It's a person, place, or thing. And so I said, well, what's God trying to show us here? And if we read this verse really close, again, I'm just going to read the middle of it. For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. Now, it doesn't tell you what you're falling away from. There's nothing mentioned what you're falling away from. And the general thought with the church today at large is right away you're falling away from the faith. Now, we know 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Go turn there, Pastor. I don't want to read that. First Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I got Thessalonians on my mind. Well, look at that. There it tells you what's falling away. What I did in the past, while Donna's looking that up, I looked up all these verses and read all of them, and you'll find out that the falling away meant they were going from one place to another, or turning away from this, turning away from Moses. It was always defined what it was. This is not being defined at all. So read that, honey.
This one is here.
It's defined.
It says, now the Spirit, it's capital S, mm-hmm. speaketh expressively that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils.
So there's your same word. It says depart, right? That's what it says, departing, okay? Very interesting. So if you look at all these, if you look all these verses up, you'll find out that it's showing this, that somebody's falling away or moving from one place to another. And so I looked up in my 1828 Webster's Dictionary. There's a lot of definitions you could have for this word, but you've got to look at the text and the context, or we get a pretext. And we have a lot of that today. Everybody says this is a falling away from the faith. Does that really say that? It doesn't say that. But these are the definitions for this word, apostasy. It can mean to remove oneself, to go away, withdraw from, separate oneself, to fall away or forsake, to stand aloof, which means to be detached, separation of people, and the last two, the most important ones, can mean departure or disappearance.
Now, those are all verbs, aren't they?
Huh? Yeah, all these are verbs, okay. But the last two we're talking about, the one we're looking at, is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 3. This falling away is not a verb anymore, it's a noun. And so,
so
all
it can't mean something moving.
Moving, that's right. So all verses except 2 Thessalonians 2:3 here, the context indicates that from which the departure is made. All the other ones except right here. It doesn't tell you where you're going or anywhere, does it? Does it say anything? It doesn't say anything. I thought I got a little frog in my throat this morning. I was going to look up one here with you. I thought it was very interesting. Let's go to chapter 8, Pastor Don, of Luke. Let's go to Luke 8:3.
Okay, I'll read that.
We'll look at a couple of these.
Thank you, Lord. Luke 8:3.
Luke chapter 8. I'm going to turn over with you, and I'm going to let you read it. Okay. Luke? Yeah. Did I say 8:13? I mean, not 8:3.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
8:13.
This is a very good one.
They on the rock are they, which when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away.
So what are they falling away from? They're being tempted from the word of God and what the word says, right? Their temptations cause them to fall away.
Falling away from the word.
That's right.
They don't believe anymore.
That's right. Now go to chapter 13 in the same book, Luke. And I think it's verse 27. Let's see what that one says.
So they believe for a while and then they
fall
away.
So that means they're moving from what? The faith to walk away from the faith.
Where are we going now?
To Luke chapter 13.
Okay.
And if I wrote this down right, it should be verse 27. Let's see what this one says.
Okay, here it is.
Mm-hmm.
13:27.
Right. There you go. Go ahead.
Jesus said this, "But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity."
So here's your word, depart. Same wording. It's a verb. They're leaving the faith, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's go to the book of Acts now. Let's go to chapter 5, verse 37. Like I mentioned, this is used 17 times in the Bible. 15 times, they're always verbs. And the other two are nouns.
So we can't assume
that it's the faith.
That's why it's important to look it up, right? In the Greek. Mm-hmm. We can't assume that this is that's a verb, because there's only two of them that are not verbs,
which
are nouns. But all the rest of these words that we're looking up are verbs. Where are we going? Acts.
I write this down, right? Yeah, Acts chapter 5, verse 37, I believe.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The Bible says for us to study.
To show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing.
35, you said?
37. 5:37.
After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him, he also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed.
Okay. So you see a separation there, don't we, huh? How about look at verse 38 right after that, Pastor Donna.
And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if they counsel or this work be of man, it will come to naught.
Naught. So he tells you right there in verse 2 to refrain from those people. Okay. Let's go to chapter 12 now in Acts. Acts has got a lot of them. Acts chapter 12, just to give you a few verses, and you can write this down as we tell you, and you can look it up on your own. Acts 12, I think it's verse 10, if I wrote this down right.
Okay.
Go ahead, honey.
When they were passed to the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. Wow. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed.
Here's your word, departed from them.
From
so he went from one place to another place, okay?
I think we've done enough of those to show.
There's a bunch of them. So let's go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 now, and we can look at this much closer. Now what I want to do here, I want to read the first 8 verses of 2 Thessalonians so we got the text here, and we want to get a context with everything, and then we want to make sure we have the right interpretation of this, okay?
Okay.
So we're going to go to... I'm going to go back into the beginning here.
2 Thessalonians
chapter 2. I'm going to start in verse 1. Now we beseech you, Paul says, brethren, by the coming of the Lord Jesus. He's talking about this coming. Of our Lord. This is not talking about him coming at the end of Jacob's trouble. This is him coming in the air All right?
The catching away
of the church. Not the rapture. I don't like that term, but the catching away. The coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. So, hey, it's really clear what he's saying there. Then he goes on, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Well, the day of Christ is really talking about the what? Huh? What would that day of Christ really be? Huh? It's the day of the Lord. It's talking about Jacob's trouble, okay? So someone must have written them a letter, okay, or informed them somehow by communication that the day of Christ had already come and they had missed all this. And so Paul had to clarify all this. That's what he's doing with all this, okay, to make it clear. And so then he tells them, he says, don't listen. One thing I thought in that verse when I read it, it said that you be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, meaning some human spirit, huh, speaking, nor by word from somebody like that, or by letter, or that it came from us, he's telling us.
Because it didn't come from them.
That's right. That the day of Christ is at hand. Now he says this, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, if you look at this verse real close in your Bible, there's a lot of words in here that are in italics. Now, I'm going to read it to you exactly how it is in the Greek. Let no man deceive you by any means, except there come a falling away first, that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So the translators added, for that day shall not come. Well, that's a good translation. I believe the Holy Ghost put that in there. What's it do? It brings clarity. For that day, the day of the Lord, in other words, Jacob's trouble, will not come except there come what? A falling away first. Now, it doesn't tell you what they're falling away from. Nothing does it. Mm-hmm. So the church has perceived that they're falling away from their faith. I don't believe this is what this is saying at all.
Because it sounds like it's the same as the other places where it talked about it, but we have to kind of tear down these words and look
right
at them.
But the other verses, we could look at the rest of them, they all show you the removal from one place to another, or getting away from this, you know, or, but being deceived, you know, like one of them was from the parable, the sower, the four types of sorrow, and they left the faith. They were tempted. They left their faith. So it shows you from one place to another whatever was going to happen. One place in the book of Acts, it says they left the teachings of Moses, okay, the same word. Well, this doesn't say what they're falling away from.
And right? If I understand this correctly, we're going to tell you what they're falling away from.
That's right.
But it says that this is going to happen before the man of sin is revealed.
That's right.
So those who will be leaving, the catching away, the rapture, will may not see or may not know who this man is.
I don't think we're going to know who he is until we're out of here.
It's son of perdition.
That's right. And what's perdition means? It's the word apollyon. It means he's a wicked person, a son of destruction and perdition. He's going to be destroyed. I mean, just like Judas died, he was a son of perdition. Well, this false Messiah will also be called the same thing. So this is an interesting word here about the falling away. Now, let's finish reading this now. So I want you to keep that in mind now. So I believe this should really be a departure or a disappearance right here, okay? It's what he's telling us, because he doesn't tell you what it is. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, who's this, the false Messiah, or is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So when will that happen? At mid-tribulation, okay? During Jacob's trouble. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. This is pretty clear, I think, what God's saying here. Amen? So he's telling all this exactly what's going to happen. And so there's a restraining effort in here. We notice there's something restraining all this, but we need to look at the whole context of this to understand what God's trying to show us with all this, how important it is. And so I believe this is revealing that we will be out of here before the son of perdition, the false Messiah, the Antichrist, will appear to be known here on the earth in our eyes. So we'll be gone before that happens. So it's still going to be a mystery to us until we get off this earth here. So one day that's going to happen. We know that. So we have to keep this in mind. Now, what I want to look at here, and I thought about this. Remember now, this word in verse 3 is a noun. This falling away is one word in the Greek, and it's a noun. And a dear lady in our church brought it to our attention, but I knew this because I took English. We know a noun is what? A person, a place, or a thing, right, Pastor Donna?
That's right.
So we think about this. It's the thought behind the catching away. Remember, the person, it's about Jesus Christ. It's about Yeshua the Messiah. All right. So what's the place? Huh? Heaven. And what's the event? The catching away. I think it's kind of interesting. The person, a place, and what?
A person, place, and
a
thing.
And a thing. The thing is what? The catching away. So I thought it was pretty interesting, just thinking about what a noun is. So if we look at this a little bit further, we might think about some things. Now we have a word in here that might be troubling to some people about this. Verse 6, it says, and now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. So some things we withholding, this he in here is the false Messiah. What is withholding that he might be revealed in his time? Well, what is it? It's got to be what? It's got to be the Spirit of God. Well, think about this. We that are born again, the Spirit of God is in us, okay? We're born again, and we're the restraining force on the earth, even this day and this hour. If the church was completely removed, the true church, you know, all hell would break loose in this land of ours and the whole world. And so we think about, we're the one that's really withholding this by this Holy Ghost that's in us as we walk and do the things that the Word of God tells us to do, to walk
so
in righteousness and holy.
The born-again believers are the ones that
are holding it back.
The church.
But
when the catching away comes, and those that are born again, truly born again,
will be removed.
Truly believe, will be gone. They'll be gone. They'll be caught away.
That's right.
And then the forces of evil will
break loose. So this, now you know, it says, now you know what withholdeth. Well, that withholdeth, it has to be a person. Something's withholding all this. Amen. And we know it's the Holy Ghost and all born again believers. It's right there in the scripture. So we have to look at that. So it means, then it goes on down here and it says, and now ye know that withholdeth, that what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he, now this is an interesting term, we'll talk about this in a moment. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Now this is an interesting word. It says to be taken out of the way. The person or power of the taken out, taken away, before this true revelation of the man of sin can be, the phrase taken out of the way then is a Greek word and is used in the English Bible to mean arise, to assemble, to be finished. When the restrainer is finished or arises, the man of sin will not be revealed. So who's restraining all this? It's got to be the Holy Ghost through the believers. So verse 7 says in the middle, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he. Now this he now happens to be a personal pronoun. So it's talking about a person. Well, who would that be? That's got to be, I believe that's talking about the Holy Ghost in us. Who now letteth. Letteth just means that we'll restrain, we'll continue to restrain. When it says now letteth, we'll let. It means it now restrains and will continue to restrain until he be taken out of the way. So is the Holy Ghost going to be taken out of the way?
No.
No way. If he was taken out of the way, there would be no way for people during Jacob's trouble to get saved because the Holy Ghost is the one that draws them. The Holy Ghost will not be taken away. So who's going to be taken away? The people, the believers that have the Holy Ghost in them, we're going to leave. And so the restraining element that's there with the true believers is going to be gone. Right, Pastor Don? And so then all hell's going to break loose on the earth. That's what he's trying to tell us here with the scripture. So it's not as difficult as everybody makes it. Verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity. You know, the word iniquity, that's the worst sin we have in the Bible. We talk about it all the time at church. It means the twisting or perverting of God's word. The mystery of all this doth already work. Only he who now letteth or restraineth will continue to restrain until he, what? Be taken out of the way. There's two he's, but the first one is a personal pronoun. So the he here is talking about what? The church at large, the ones that are true believers. And then he says, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Isn't that incredible? Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. I'm going to finish this. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth. The truth is the word of God, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in what? Unrighteousness. And he talks about, basically, but verse 13, but we are bound to give thanks to God always. I'll read it again. But we are bound to give thanks always. It means all different ways to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. So he says, I'm not talking about you that believe. This is talking about this false Messiah that's going to come. So this is a powerful chapter. But we see a lot about this. There's got to be a fall in the way. Well, think about this. How about during the Dark Ages when no one had a Bible? We're showing these videos again to this afternoon, the second half of this, about the tares among the wheat. When people did not have a Bible in their hands, Tyndale lost his life for that. Wycliffe would have, but he had died and had a stroke and all died before all that. But a lot of men were put on the stake because of trying to translate the Bible into a language for the common people so they could read it. And so they didn't have that. So what happened? The Catholic Church played havoc with all the people during over 1,000 years. That was called the Dark Ages. So what was that? Was that a falling away? Well, it wasn't really a falling away. It's just the people did not have the Word of God. So it was kept from them. So it was removed from them, right? So basically, that's another definition for that word, apostasy, okay? In a noun form and all that. So it was removed. They didn't have it. So what do we have? That's what do they have in that day?
They tried to hide the word people didn't have Bibles in those days, and they couldn't think for themselves. They couldn't study. Well, the Bible tells us, doesn't it, that the Holy Spirit is a teacher? If we have the true word of God, then the Holy Spirit will reveal to us the truth, the meaning of the word.
Right.
You know? But they didn't have Bibles in those days. They didn't feel that the people could read them, could understand them, and so they told them everything that they wanted to know, and much of what they told them was not the truth.
That's right. So they didn't have anything really removed. It wasn't something they had that was taken away. They never got to see it, and they said only the priests could read it and understand it. So they had a Dark Ages, and so I wouldn't really call it a falling away, but they were just uninformed. They were destroyed for lack of knowledge. They didn't know what was going on until Martin Luther went and nailed those 95 theses on the church in Wittenberg, Germany. And he realized and told them, it's a wonder they didn't kill him. He died before that happened.
They wanted to control the people.
Yeah, they wanted to control the people.
And you know, we're to go only to the Father in Jesus' name.
Right.
We don't go to other people. We do confess our sins. We can confess our sins one to another. But you know, we actually go to the Father in Jesus' name. We don't have to confess our sins to a priest or some man. Or some religion.
But
that's what they were doing. It was a form of control.
That's what it
was. To control the people.
Control the people.
To do what they wanted the people to do.
That's right. So we have to rethink this a little bit, because all the scriptures we talked about with this word apostasy, or a derivative from that, whenever they talked about falling away or moving from one place to the other, they always told you what it was. Nothing was said here. And I mentioned all the early translations had this as a departure. What's the departure? It's going to be the church. Now, Perry Stone...
That's why it's important to know if something, if it's a verb or if it's a noun.
Yeah.
So, because if you think that, you know, gee, all of them are verbs, well, then you're going to think that this was a verb as well.
That's right.
But when you go and you check out each word and you find out, wow, that one's a noun. So there must be something here hidden that I need to ask the Lord, that there must be a hidden mystery right here. Doesn't he even talk about the mystery in this chapter?
That's right. It said the mystery of iniquity. Yeah.
And there's a mystery of the church too.
That's right.
And the mystery is what? Some people are going to be gone. Did you watch the Left Behind series? You know, there were people caught away, and they had no idea where they were at. What are they going to say when hundreds of thousands of billions of people caught away? I don't know how many it will be. I mean, you know, we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But there's going to be a lot of people left here that may have thought they were a Christian, because that in that movie, that pastor, he was left. So his heart wasn't totally...
That's right.
You know, perhaps his being a pastor was just a job to him. I don't know. Only God knows the hearts of people.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when some people are gone, well, according to what we believe, that, you know, all the little children are going to be gone. They were all gone in that movie, right? Weren't they?
That's right.
And so, you know, if you have a family that say they don't believe, but then all of a sudden their 3 and 4 year old children are gone,
mm-hmm.
they may start rethinking the gospel.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, there's
because why would the enemy, the devil, take the little children? No, God would. God's going to protect
them.
God's going to protect them.
Sure.
And there's other scriptures where it says we're going to be protected. We won't be Don't be afraid. It says, don't be afraid of these things, you know.
That's right.
If you know the Lord, God's going to protect you. Thank you, Lord.
But you know, Paul himself, even this letter, I believe in a lot of church people today that teach, I think they understand this, a lot of them teach the other thing, are saying this man of sin could not be revealed until there was first a departing of the church to heaven. And I believe this is what Paul's saying here. So there's nothing said. Perry Stone had a nice write-up about this in something I had years ago about who's restraining. Listen to this. He says, the restrainer who's holding back the revealing of the man of sin is addressed with a personal pronoun, which I just talked about, he. Only he who now restrains will restrain until he is taken out of the way. The he in this passage does not allude to, as some teach, the Roman government. I've read that in some commentaries. If so, when the political Roman Empire declined, the Antichrist should have been revealed, but he was not. Others teach that he is the Holy Spirit who is removed from the earth during the tribulation. Mm-hmm. Yet there's no scripture to indicate the Holy Spirit will be completely removed from the earth during that time. No, there's not one scripture on that.
We know that because people are going to get saved during
the
tribulation.
So he says,
and that many of them may even die during that time for their faith because they won't deny that Jesus is the Christ.
And you think about the two witnesses during the tribulation, or Jacob's trouble, will preach and perform miracles, and thousands of Jews will receive the Messiah. It's in chapter 7, 11 of the book of Revelation. How did they come? By the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came during creation and has continued his work in various forms since the time of Adam. This is Tip Perry's writing. His work will be different during the tribulation, we know that, but nonetheless, nobody could be saved if he were completely removed, as it says in John 6:44. No one comes until the Spirit draws them. Amen. The third and best choice for the restrainer is what? The church, the ecclesia. The church is presently the body of Christ on earth and will become the bride of Christ at the catching away. Well, as soon as we get caught away, we're going to be a bride. When we come back at the end, after 7 years, we'll be a wife. Hallelujah. You read Revelation 19.
Amen.
Presently, all believers are baptized into one body. Tells you that, huh? And one spirit. Ephesians 4:4. I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians 12:13. We are the body and members in particular. 1 Corinthians 12:27. There's one body and one spirit. Ephesians 4:4. We are to come into the unity of the faith, unto a perfect man. Ephesians 4:13. We are to grow up in him in all things. Ephesians 4:15. Notice in these scriptures that the church is alluded to in a masculine form. Therefore, the he in Paul's message could allude to the church being removed, followed by the man of sin being revealed. The church being removed is the gathering together that we talked about. The very first verse in chapter 2, he says what? Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. Glory be to God.
Amen.
The church being removed is a gathering together, and the man of sin is revealed. What? Before the Lord returns to rule and reign, as mentioned in Revelation 19, what? At the end of Jacob's trouble. Only the true ecclesia church is hindering lawlessness from being unleashed on the earth. The preaching of the gospel hinders Satan's plan to control the earth. Once the restraining power, which is you and I, believers in Christ, of the church, is taken out of the way, we arise and are removed, then the man of sin is revealed in his full identity. Isn't that incredible when you think of it? It's amazing when I just think to be taken out of the way. We're going to be out of the picture. But many people today still continue to accept the traditional interpretation, the falling away as a defection from truth and faith. It is not necessary to accept the above interpretation for pre-tribulation catching away of the church, since there is ample evidence throughout the New Testament of such an event. But I thought we might just mention on that a little bit here today, because we taught on it last week, and it's just amazing how God translates his Bible with these wonderful men, and they use these words over and over, and so we have to learn how to look all the words up and find out what it says. And so that's what I did. I went and looked up all the verses that had this word apostasia or a derivative of it. And as we mentioned, there were 17 of them altogether. And so I looked them all up, and you'll see these first 15 are all verbs. A verb is an action verb. So something was changed. Somebody was moving from one place or another. They were falling away from Moses' teaching. Something was going on. But here, Paul never said one thing what it was. He never mentioned it. In all these other places, it mentions what it is. He says, For that day shall not come except there coming a fall away, falling away. It doesn't say what it is. First, well, we have to go first, don't we? And that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. It's incredible. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that what? He is God. Pretty interesting, right, Pastor Donna?
Amen.
Now, if we go back to 1 Thessalonians, because Paul had told, and we just read that, Paul, he taught the first group when he went to Thessalonica the first time. He used some terms in there.
So they must have had some questions, or someone must have been lying to them.
That's right.
And telling them something else, because he warned them.
He wrote another letter, didn't he?
Don't listen to everyone, you know. Because he says, you know, but he did tell them. That's very good. He tells them right here in 1 Thessalonians what's going to happen. Praise the Lord.
I'm going to be
chapter 4.
No, I'm going to start in verse 1 of chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians. Now, let's just look at this for a moment, what Paul says here.
Okay, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1.
He was talking about himself in verse 9. He says, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." Now, look at verse 10. This is key. "And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." So we're not going. That tells you right
there.
We're not going to go through Jacob's trouble. That's God's wrath. Okay, isn't that amazing? You look at that. It's amazing to think about. Now there's a couple other places I want to mention here. Look at chapter 2, verse 19.
Yeah, Pastor Gene, if people would like these different scriptures, we certainly could send them the information on this teaching. Mm-hmm. Chapter, verse 19.
Yeah, verse 2, verse 19. "For what is our hope," Paul says, "or joy, or crown of rejoicing, are not even ye," it means you all, those men that were there that believed in Christ, "in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming." It's not talking about him coming back to the earth. It's coming to catch us away in the air. Amen. Now, there was another one to look at here. If I can find it here real quick. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Verse 13 of chapter 3. Look at this one.
You know, there's a little sort of a little mystery right in here, what you just read.
Okay.
"Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming?" Mm-hmm. Who's going to come back with the people, with Jesus in the clouds? There's going to be a catching away.
That's right.
In the clouds. And you've talked about this before. The clouds could possibly be a cloud of
their white garments. Looks like clouds. Yeah.
He says, just listen to this.
Yeah.
"Are not even ye in the presence?" See, there be in the presence. To be absent from the body is what?
To be present
with
the Lord.
To be in the presence of the Lord.
That's right.
So these men, of course, they're not living now.
No.
They are in the presence of the Lord.
So waiting for him to come back to the earth.
"Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus at his coming?"
At his coming. In the sky.
In the sky.
That's what he's talking about.
Doesn't that give you goosebumps?
Sure does.
Because here he's speaking to them. You who know the Lord, you are at his presence to be with the Lord. You know, when you die, you're with the Lord. Your spirit and your soul is with the Lord. But when he comes in the sky to catch us away, they will be with him.
That's right.
Because what's going to happen? They're going to receive their
supernatural body.
That's right. So it says that. There will be the dead in Christ will rise first.
1 Thessalonians chapter 4, yeah.
And then we who are alive
and remain,
we will be gathered up in the sky with them.
That's right.
And so shall we always be. So this is all going to happen.
That's right.
See, now that is just, a lot of people just read over that. The Holy Spirit just quickened me to that.
That's it.
That key. He says, "Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming?"
But see, if we don't know the word of God, we miss all this, don't
"For
we?
Ye are our glory and joy." Wow. That's now, powerful, yeah, Pastor Gene.
Yeah, it sure is. Now, chapter 3, verse 9, I'm going to start there, and we're going to go down one key verse. It says, "For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you." Now here's the key verse. To the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Wow, huh?
Wow.
I mean, it's so clear what
so
we have.
So we're to be abounding in love.
That's it.
Towards one another.
You got it.
We're to abound in love towards one another, especially as we see these days coming.
That's right.
Getting so close. The Lord, the coming of the Lord is close at hand.
So this is when Paul originally talked to the people in Thessalonica all about this. So let's go over now to, let's go to chapter 4. And most of us read this, but we've been told all these different things that this can't be or this is not possible or whatever. But listen to this. Where I want to start at here.
Thank you, Lord.
Chapter 4, verse 13. Let's just read this. Mm-hmm. This will probably end up our time almost here, unless we got some things to do. We got about 12 and a half minutes. But I would not have you to be ignorant. See, God doesn't want us to be ignorant in anything at all.
That's right.
And he says, brother, he's talking to believers, concerning them which are asleep. The word asleep is a term used in the Bible for people that are dead. Mm-hmm. And you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Well, who are the ones that have no hope? The ones that don't have Christ and they're dead. They have no hope, huh?
They're lost.
They're
dead and they're lost.
That's right. Verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and we believe that, don't we, Pastor Don?
Yes, we do.
Even so, them also which sleep or have died in Jesus will God bring with him. The Father and the Son are going to come back.
Now, this lines up with that verse that I just read.
That's right. So he's going to come back in the sky, okay, and he's going to bring with him all those saints that Donna's talking about just a moment ago, all the saints that walked righteous with God that have died, and their bodies are still in the graves, but their spirit and soul is with the Lord. We know they all came out. When Jesus Christ came out of the grave on the resurrection, all those Old Testament saints that walked righteous with God and all that, well, what? Their bodies are still in the grave, but that day, what, they're going to all be called out of the grave, and we're going to meet the Lord in the air.
Because there was a token resurrection.
There was a token resurrection.
Of believers in Jesus.
That's right. Right after his resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Right.
So it says right here, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. And that's one of the first things I marked in Bible years ago when I got to study my Bible. That we which are alive
and remain.
Now, I'm going to read this again. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord. Now, what some minister or preacher tells
this
you, that
this
is not true.
This is the word of the Lord, Paul
This
said.
Is the word of the Lord. That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord on the earth, we'll be on the earth, in other words, we're still here. Maybe it'll be in our lifetime, I hope. The Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Well, that word prevent just means to proceed before them which are asleep or which have died. So there's going to be a resurrection out from among the dead first, and then they'll be catching away will come. Now, listen to this. For the verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout.
Shofar.
With the voice of an archangel.
Amen.
And with the trump of God. That's a shofar, the last trump. And the dead in Christ shall rise what?
First.
It tells you that. First. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. Who's the them? The ones that came out of their graves first. In the clouds. It says in the clouds. I mean, it'll be a cloud of witnesses. It talks about in the book of Hebrews. All in white garments. It looked like a white cloud maybe. Them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. It didn't say on the earth, but in the air. And so shall we what? Ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So we were going to go through this terrible time. He wouldn't tell us to comfort ourselves because he's telling us we're going to escape that. Chapter 5, verse 9 makes that clear also. For God hath not appointed us, that means us, true believers, to wrath. God's wrath will be during Jacob's trouble, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. We'll be saved through all that, plus we'll have our sins all removed as well, right? We're saved.
Caught up together with them. Who are the them? The them are the ones that are in the clouds.
That's right. They're already got caught. They're going to come out first. Our pastor down
in the
south,
air.
We were with
They'll
for
be
years.
In the air.
He passed away, our pastor down south. He used to say that all the time. I want to go in the second load. I want to go in the second load. Well, he didn't make
because
the second load.
Because the dead in Christ will go first.
That's right. So he went in the first. Amen.
Now, praise the Lord.
Let's read a couple more things. We've got about 8 minutes. I'm going to go into chapter 5 with you. Paul says, but chapter 5, 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, he's talking to believers, you have no need that I write unto you. So he's talking about the times, the seasons that we have, huh? The seasons are God's appointed times, and the the fixed times of the year, all this is coming to pass. Now, verse 2, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now, I hear this all the time. But truly, you're going to be caught as a thief in the night. If you know your word, you know the appointed times, you're not going to be caught as a thief in the night because you're going to be looking for the Lord to come back. Amen?
We got to continue reading there.
That's
we
right.
don't just stop at that
That's
spot.
Right.
Then you will think you're going to be caught as a
yeah.
thief in the
then
night.
Then it says this in verse 3. For when they are those that are outside, that are not in the body of Christ, mm-hmm. shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. This is referring to the beginning of Jacob's trouble, okay?
Now, so that's a little one, that's a little verse. Verse 3 is just kind of stuck in there between verse 2 and 4.
And nobody reads it hardly ever.
Right, because we're talking about those who don't know the Lord. But
that's
let's
right.
look at verse 4.
Yeah.
But ye,
talking about brethren,
are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Well, does that contradict what we just read in verse 2?
Nope.
No, it doesn't, because verse 2 and 3 go together. He's talking about, the verse 3 tells you about those who
they're outside. They're
outside,
not born again.
Outside, right.
Well, they say, yeah.
But verse 4 says, but you, ye brother, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief.
So
no, we should know.
We should know. We should be aware. We know the time of the year this is all going to happen. We don't know the year for sure, but we'll be awake and aware when these seasons come around.
Because we're not children of darkness,
That's
we're
right.
children of light.
That's what he says in verse 5, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible. Wonderful.
Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
And of course, he closes that out there with, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, his wrath, but to obtain what? Salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. To
That's
save
right.
us out of all the time of trouble, and also to save us from all of our sins. Amen.
And you all can go ahead and finish reading that chapter. Verse 9 says, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ.
Now I'm going to read a couple more verses
and
in chapter 5.
And we're to comfort
5,
each other.
That's
go
right.
Ahead.
Verse 22 in chapter 5 says, abstain from all appearance of evil.
Mm-hmm.
And I like verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you, that means to set you apart holy. I pray God your whole spirit and soul mm-hmm. and body be preserved blameless. Now listen to this now, unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. When he comes in the sky, what? To catch the church away. Faithful is that calleth you, who also will do it. So we have a wonderful thing, don't we?
I like what it says in verse 11 too. Therefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do.
That's right.
We are to comfort each other because the day of the Lord is coming and we're going to be caught away.
Right.
But you know, it talks about over here about, you talked about prophecy. We always speak about this because a lot of people say that prophecy is not for today.
That's right.
Because he tells him, he says, rejoice forevermore in verse 16. He says, pray without ceasing. We're to spend time with the Lord, right?
Mm-hmm.
In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. This is the Spirit of God.
Mm-hmm.
Despise not prophesying. See? Or don't despise prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearances
of evil.
That's
right.
Thank you, Father God. Well, that's a wonderful chapter.
So we have
wonderful
a lot in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to close with one more place. I'm going to go to John chapter 14 with you.
Thank you, Father.
This is something that our Savior said.
Mm-hmm.
And some people kind of misinterpret that also. But this is very important. We understand this.
We're to love one another. He also talks about the holy kiss in
That's
that
right.
chapter.
Mm-hmm.
John
chapter 14, verse 1 says this. Our Lord and Savior, Yeshua, said this. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye, it means you all, believe in God, believe also in me. This is the requirement. In my Father's house are many mansions, wonderful mm-hmm. places to live.
Praise God.
If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you.
Yes.
Right now, you and I, honey.
Thank you, Lord.
And all believers in Christ, the place has already been prepared for us
Most
as we
likely.
Walk with the Lord. That's what this,
mm-hmm.
So I go and prepare a place for you. He was talking about his disciples, but it's for us as well. Verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and
receive
you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Amen? And whither I go, You know, and the way you know. He says, you know where I'm going, and you know how to get there.
And he tells him in verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Now, one other thing just came to my thought, as Pastor Donna read that. It's still in the book of John.
Yes.
Go to chapter 11. I think we'll close here. Maybe we've got a couple more things we might want to talk about.
Thank you, Lord.
But we're going to show the rest of our movie today at 4 o'clock.
Yes, come.
Regarding,
enjoy it.
The tares among the wheat, what's happened to our Bibles down through time. I'm in chapter 11. I'm going to read 25 and 26. This was revealed to me years ago. This is a real prophetic word right here. Jesus said unto her, this was to Martha. She was concerned her brother died. If Jesus would have came sooner, then he wouldn't have died, okay?
That's right.
But look what Jesus told her. He said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. And that's a fact. That is absolutely true. He is the resurrection and the life.
That's right.
He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live again. So he's talking about a resurrection, people out from among the dead, okay? Then look at this. He jumps to another thought. To those that are on the earth, when this all happens, they will be caught off the earth. And whosoever liveth, they're alive, and believeth in me, shall never die. Believest thou this? He's talking about, that's a showing us there about this catching. It's going to be a removal. We'll never die if we're here when he comes back. Amen?
So resurrection will be forever.
That's right.
And so this was an example that Jesus did. He didn't come back for 4 days.
That's right.
He was dead. He even stinks, they said.
That's right.
So, but he this miracle was...
To prove he was the resurrection and the life,
to show that he was the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life, Jesus said. Praise God. Well, this is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton. We're blessed to be with you every Saturday, Lord willing, on WCNO and also on the internet, WCNO.com. You can listen to this broadcast again if you'd like to. And just go to WCNO and go to Saturday and look at 12 noon. You'll see Pastor Gene Hilton and the teachings and look for the date. Well, we have services here in Stuart, Florida, Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday. Give us a call. We'd be glad to talk to you and pray with you. Whatever, if you have any questions, just give Pastor Gene or myself a call. And the phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007.
So as we close this program, we tell you, don't be fooled by what many people may tell you. You check out the Word. As Paul talked to the Bereans in the book of Acts, he said, you be the Bereans. You search to see if these things be so. So if we look at, we got to understand the history, the patterns, the things that people did back in those days, the customs, and also the Greek grammar is important as well, like we have to have it for our English as well.
Amen.
And when we do that, we find out some wonderful things. So as we close this program, I hope you were blessed with this, not because of Don and I, but because we gave you the Word of God. So we tell you, as we say every week, to look up, because your redemption draweth nigh. And what do we say, Pastor Don?
Shabbat shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.